Number nine, number nine, number nine.
Welcome to the next step. Hey, this is Father Voskin welcoming you back to the next step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, delving into the very fabric of our being, and examining it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the NSU's mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and of course is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles' Net. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Yes, that was the Beatles' Revolution 9 at the beginning of our show. For those of you awake enough or have it loud enough or astute enough to observe, yes, this is our ninth podcast. And I don't know if we've created a revolution yet, but it is absolutely the ninth one. And who is that? Mal Evans, who does that little loop of number nine. I think Ken's having some fun time up in the booth today. But I'm so glad you're with us today because we do have a great, great show for you. Especially, I promised last week that we'd continue, do a part two of what we were talking about last week as far as bearing love. What does it mean to be the bearer of God? It means to bear love. When we talk about St. Mary as the Mother of God, it's the ability for each and every one of us to find in her an example of how we need to bear love, offer love to one another. We're also going to be looking at some of the traditions that have evolved around the Feast of St. Mary, namely, yes, the grape blessing. Ken, you're having too much fun up there. Yes, we're going to be looking at the grape blessing service, a pagan tradition and how it relates to us today, and actually how we can find some interesting ideas for us to accent and really let our love flourish. So we'll be looking at the March of the Grapes, yes, the grape blessing. And of course, today with the message, we do have some interesting things going on in the world, which we do need to focus on because those are the places that we need to show some of our love. And of course, right now, our hearts and our prayers are with the people in Ossetia. You know, that's a small little area in the Caucasus, very close to Armenia, very similar to the struggles that people in Karabakh, Artsakh have gone through during the last several hundred years, and most noticeably pronounced in the last 20 years. But Ossetia right now, it's dominated world attention. I don't know if it's maybe because of the Olympics and with the President Bush and Putin sitting next to each other, and so all of a sudden he had a moment where they were discussing it. But what is very serious is that there is a breach of peace, and of course the sabers are rattling, and nothing more about peace. The actual thing is that there's a pipeline that goes through Georgia, and of course there's interests of oil. Let's not fool ourselves. That's what these people are all after. But for us, it's a very important thing because there is human life involved. So I don't want to get into the politics of it. Just like we talk about Darfur, you know, there's so much politics going on, but there's people who are dying. Have you noticed that there's not a word about Iraq in the news? Have you noticed that? What is this, August 2008? We're talking about Obama and McCain. We're talking about the Olympics. Hey, there's a war going on. We're talking about recession, but there's a war going on, and there are, again, innocent people dying daily. And nobody's talking about it. It's up to people like us, like you and me, to be vigilant, to keep our eyes open, to be the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth that brings the senses together. And of course, to be able to be cognizant of it is only one part of it. The other part is to take some action, make some noise about it. Right now, things are unfolding as we record this podcast, but we do have this statement which came out of Human Rights Watch. It says that it has witnessed South Odessian fighters looting ethnic Georgian houses and has recorded multiple accounts of Georgian militia intimidating ethnic Ossetians. In other words, it's coming both ways, and the reports by the International Rights Group in this press release says is important independent confirmation of the claims by each side in the Russia-Georgia conflict. Both have accused the other of committing actions that could be counted as war crimes. And it's tragedy is tragedy. You know, we're so caught up in saying who's right and wrong that we forget that for God, all wars are civil wars. And think about that for a moment. They're all God's children. The Georgians, the Russians, the Armenians, the Turks, the Americans, the Chinese, the French, the Swedes, the Italians, the Japanese. I mean, for God, it's people. And so when people fight one another on this one planet, I mean, that is a civil war in the eyes of God. And this was never more pronounced in my life as it was when I returned back from Rwanda a couple years ago. And I remember the images that were so fresh in my mind of a generation devastated by genocide. And I was juxtaposing those in my mind with what I had heard growing up, listening to stories of the surviving generation from the 1915 genocide, and reading about the Holocaust, and reading about Cambodia, and hearing about Bosnia, and coming to terms with these words like genocide, ethnic cleansing. In other words, hatred at such a high level where it's not against one or two people, but it's against an entire group of people. And you realize that you have only one alternative. You have to work for peace. You have to live for peace. And to get that peace, you need justice. I hope you've been watching the Darfur Olympics. As you know, if you've been following our website, Gabriel Starring, we're going to be honoring him as the In His Shoes Person of the Year on September 5th. And I hope that people, especially in the Southern California area, but anywhere, will make an effort to be there that night at the Barnsdale Galleria. But what's so incredible about this work that he's doing is that he's not advocating from a far-off distance. He's actually putting his feet in the shoes of others. He's on the Chad-Darfur border. He's meeting with refugees. He's in the refugee camps. Actually, he should be on en route returning back to the United States. And the first appearance that he'll have an opportunity with us September 5th to talk. And I hope you've been following his webcasts. If you haven't, just please click on those links. It's very important to see the work that he's doing and to hear those interviews. Likewise, Mia Farrow has been broadcasting from refugee camps. She's with a group called the Darfur Olympics. Now, how fascinating. The entire world is focused in on China and the Beijing Olympics, and Mia Farrow and her group are out there in Darfur, like Gabriel was, broadcasting this information to a world that might want to see sports, but needs to understand that there is still ethnic cleansing. There still is death on the capacity, on the magnitude of genocide. And so Mia Farrow, in her latest podcast, she talks to some of the Darfurian refugees about peace. And it's very interesting. As difficult as conditions are in those refugee camps, as difficult as life is, some of them not having seen what we call quote-unquote normal life, not seeing food, not seeing relatives for not only a few days, not only a few weeks or months, but we're talking about years. And yet, when the issue or the discussion comes up about peace, what they prefer over peace is justice. That without justice, they say, you cannot have peace. And these are themes that keep coming up over and over when there is a struggle, when there is an opportunity for us to rise from our conditions. And we talk about love, not blanketly, but love as channeled. And that the channeling of that love towards peace involves justice. Now, we talk about this, and we've talked about it in the past, and we will get to this in future broadcasts. And it's not that we're skirting the issue. It's just that we need to lay the foundation. Before you can go out for peace, before you can work for justice, you need to have the groundwork, the foundation, which is love. When St. Nerissa Shnorhali says, the name of love is Jesus, he's not talking about some man who's standing there, man God who is standing there and judging us. But he's talking about God loving us so much that he puts out his arms and he says, I am willing to sacrifice. Go ahead and shoot the nails through my hands. Go ahead and whip me because I am willing to sacrifice myself completely for you. That's the type of love we talk about. Yes, it's sometimes unattainable. But last week we quoted Mother Teresa, and I refer back to her because that one quote has been stirring in my mind, at least for the last week, that when she looked at the awesome work in front of her, she could realize that other people might get discouraged. And she said, if you can't feed 100 people, then feed one person. The message is that go ahead and do something. Go ahead and take one step. And it's the same for us. A lot of times we get all hung up about the love, the initiative to love. What do you mean, love my enemy? I cannot love my enemy. How can I possibly do that? Okay, fine. Before you do that, how about loving your brother? How about loving your sister? How about making up with a friend? How about making up with somebody you do have some difficulties with? Before, stop going out to the extremities. Let's stay in the middle and start laying the foundation so that we can walk over to the edges. So that's why it's important when we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy that we lay a foundation, that we have the groundwork. And so today we're going to take one more step towards that groundwork, laying that foundation down. Now, last week we talked about Saint Mary as being this example for us, being the saint who said yes to God. And in saying yes to God, what she did is she said, I will bear love. And we talked also about how God demands the same from us. Not to bear Jesus Christ, not to have a child, not to become pregnant with a baby, but to have a child called love, to be pregnant with love, and deliver that child and offer that love wherever we can. So we talked about the idea of love not as an abstract idea, but as something that we are challenged to do in our lives every day. Loving one another means caring for one another, means sacrificing for one another. It means loving so much that sometimes it hurts. Now today I said we'd continue on that theme. Well, we're going to continue by looking at some of the traditions around St. Mary. There you go again, Ken. Yes, okay, let's get to the grapes. What is this, all this thing that we hear about grape blessing? Well, first of all, in the Armenian Church, on the Feast of the Assumption of Saint Mary, there is a tradition to bless grapes. Now, this tradition has pagan roots, no pun intended, but it's really important to hook up to those pagan roots because you start understanding how a group of people and how we can evolve into faith. A lot of times when we talk about our Orthodox faith, we act as if it's in a vacuum. Actually, today we do exist in the 21st century, and we have all kinds of different systems of living and expressing our lives than people did 2,000 years ago, and yet we have these traditions which date back thousands of years, and we need to understand that those traditions had a meaning. There was a reason why they brought those fruits. There is a reason why they were grapes, and so on. So let's explore some of these traditions. First of all, educating ourselves and then understanding how they play out in our lives today. So the people would bring those fruits, those grapes, to the church, and they would be blessed on the Feast of the Assumption. Now, what does that mean? Well, Jesus resurrected. We use the word resurrected. On his own power, he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. Now, the word Assumption is used in reference to Saint Mary because the idea is that she was assumed into heaven. And the tradition goes like this. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. There's so many nicer versions of this. But basically, when the Holy Mother passed away, the disciples gave her a funeral. And missing from the group of disciples was Bartholomew, the same apostle who came to Armenia. And Bartholomew, on returning back to Jerusalem, he asks to see the body of the Blessed Mother. And when they open up her tomb, her body is not there. And hence begins the tradition that she was assumed into heaven. The Assumption starts on this feast, on this event, that Saint Mary was assumed into heaven. And on that feast day, now the Armenian Church claims five major feast days. This one is dedicated to the Blessed Mother. Of the five, there is, of course, Christmas, the Nativity. There is Resurrection. There is the Transfiguration. There is the Feast of the Cross coming up. And the fifth one is this one, the Assumption of the Mother of God. Now, we talked about that phraseology too. What does that mean, the Mother of God? The Mother of Love. Now, let's discuss why the grapes. Well, open your Bibles to John chapter 15. And in there, we understand that Jesus is using this beautiful metaphor of placing himself as the true vine. And it's very, very fascinating because he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, wouldn't you expect that if there was a vine, something connected, that that would be God? And you'd say, well, shouldn't the Father be the vine? And maybe Jesus is the one who checks out everything? No. Back up a little. What's the primer? The primer is that one key that you put in and it unlocks the entire puzzle. The name of love is Jesus, says St. Narses Shnor Ali. That's the primer. Love is the true vine. When Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, his intention is very clear here. And once you understand this, at the very least, you understand your function and your role in life. At the very most, you start understanding how you are part of what we call the universe. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We're at verse 5 now of John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, people start getting all hung up about this. Well, is this some kind of exclusive religion? What do you mean? What if you're not a Christian? What about all the good people and how do they do it? Okay, slow down again. Take a breath. Mellow out. Chill out. Let's put the primer to work. Armenian Orthodoxy, St. Nerses Shnor Ali, gives us the primer. The name of love is Jesus. Now put the primer in place. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Love is the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in love and love in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from love, you can do nothing. When we talk about love, it's not something that's abstract. It's you and me. Right now, if you have love in your heart, you start bearing fruit. You start doing what you are intended to do in this world. And this is not just about doing good work or being a social worker or a priest or getting out there and doing some kind of altruistic effort for humanity. But this is about doing the best in anything that you do because your calling is a call to love. And once you start loving, doors start opening for you. You stop seeing the bad in people, you start realizing that yes, this world is one world. That yes, when we do hate each other, that is the civil war in the eyes of God. That we do need to extend, and the only way that we can bear fruit, the only way that we will have a productive life, is when we are connected to that true vine, which happens to be love. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, love in him, he it is that bears much fruit. You want to have a great life? You need to start off with love. And so on that day of Assumption, we read this passage and we bring the grapes to church. Now, what are those grapes? Those grapes are seedless. Yeah, in the old times, I know that this is we've genetically altered a lot of the grapes. A lot of grapes do have seeds. But one of the neat things about grapes is that they are propagated at the vine. You don't need those seeds. You can just take a vine and you could stick it into the earth. And if you nurture it, care for it, you realize that the vine starts blossoming. It starts bearing leaves and it gives you the fruit. And so this special fruit, grapes, is used on this occasion. Why? Because Jesus was the seedless grape, so to speak, the seedless fruit. He was conceived, and we believe that through the Holy Spirit, he came into this world. Now, the grapes are brought to the church. It is the first offering that people bring and give and donate. It is a piece of themselves. It is an expression of their work. So when we talk about having love as a foundation for all of the work that you do, it's very appropriate that we take that first work and give it to the church. It's all part of a big cycle of we work because God has given us the graces, and now we take that work and we offer it back to God and say that here is something that we've done and we want a blessing on it. These grapes are brought to the church. They're blessed not only by the priest's prayer, but by the singing of the people, the hymns and the praises that are raised from the people. And collectively as a community, there's a blessing upon people's work, on people's efforts, on people's expressions of love. I think that this is one of the most beautiful stories that comes and we receive from Armenian Orthodoxy. The idea that we are all part of something greater than ourselves. That together we make up a community and a collective. And do you see where the power comes for you to function? Because once you realize that you are part of that, in other words, that you are now the new branch on that vine, you have the ability to produce and bear fruit. Now take a look at the fruit. Take a look at the grape. What is it? It is just one of the most creative expressions of love. You pick one up, it has that aromatic quality. When you open it up, you get a burst of this, its smell. It has that, that je ne sais quoi quality to it. And when you put it in your mouth, it's like having a party in your mouth. And of course, I'm going overboard. But why am I saying this? Because the fruit has to be delicious. And when you are connected to love, what do? You produce some delicious fruit. robust flavors, robust expressions of your love, just as the fruit, just as that grape is so beautiful and robust. And you can do this. You can do this in your life when you are connected to love. And what do we do with that grape? We eat it. It tastes great. We make wine. It gives us happiness in our lives. It gives us flavor. It's an incredible, incredible fruit. And what does Jesus continue to say? He says, if a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Okay, let's follow out this metaphor. If a branch isn't connected to the vine, what happens? It may have fruit on it, but what happens? It starts withering. If it does have that fruit, those fruits start getting wrinkly. They turn into raisins. And yes, raisins do taste good, but they're dead. That's it. It's finished. It's wrinkly. And so it is with our life. If we're not connected to love, we may look good on the outside, but we're wrinkly, we're finished. Try as you might, you can never produce new fruit. It's impossible to bear any fruit if you're not connected to the vine. It's just a simple law of nature. What do they say raisins are good for? It gives you iron. Okay. Want to be some kind of Iron Man? Go ahead. Or would you rather be an expression of love? In doing everything that you can to maximize the potential that God has given you, you need to be connected to that love vine. Once you're disconnected, you wither away. It's over. Now, today, what I'd like to do in this expression is listen to a couple songs that I've picked out for you. One of them is dedicated to the Mother of God, who's, of course, the expression today. But we're going to listen first to a song by Gomidas Vartabed. Gomidas was a monk of the Armenian Church, and he created a lot of spiritual music, and he created a lot of spiritual music. Now, what did I say there? Yes, I meant that intentionally, because people think that he, being a monk, he created Armenian church music, but all of his music was very spiritual. All of it was connected to the vine. We're going to hear a rendition of a song called Shogerjan, sung by Gor Mkhitaryan. Listen to it and understand that the spirit is there. Who is Shogerjan, if not that expression of his love, and his love not just for a person, but for life, for humanity? Here's Gor Mkhitaryan performing Shogerjan.
Sahari tsutun chigali shoger jan dunoro ora dunoro ora shoger jan aham pitaki tsukere pa shoger jan dunoro ora dunoro ora shoger jan aham pitaki tsukere pa shoger jan Sirtes kerakov letzvat shoerjan Ahashkeris kun chigali shoerjan Dunor ora dunshor ora shoerjan Aham pitaki tzukereva shoerjan Dunor ora dunshor ora shoerjan Aham pitaki tzukereva shoerjan azun cigali shoe jan sahari tun cigali shoe jan dunora du shorora shoe jan aham pitaki tun keleva shoe jan dunora du shorora shoe jan aham pitaki
Oh, I just love that rendition of Sholerjan by Gor Mkhitaryan. That's off of his acoustic folklore album. And of course, you can catch all of his music at goremusic.com. And I want to remind you that you'll get a chance to hear some of his newer music at our September 5th event. And of course, we're doing a joint album with him, a spiritual music, toward the end of the year. So keep plugged in with us. But the idea of playing some kind of, let's say, secular song in a spiritual context is exactly that. That once you're connected to the vine, it's all spiritual. It's all part of the great cosmos. It's all part of the universe. And I'm not trying to sound New Agey or anything like that. Before there was the New Age, there was the Old Age, which was called Armenian Orthodoxy. And the ascetics, the people who were connected to God, were connected, yes, with the essence of the universe, which is love. Love created it all. It's not by chance that the ecumenical meetings, for instance, are called universal. Diezeragan, universal. These terms are used. They don't belong to the New Age. They belong to Orthodoxy. We're just doing some archaeological excavation, you know? It's so cluttered with a bunch of dust on top of it. It's got so much dirt on top of it that we need to start excavating and seeing that underneath it all, it comes down to this very, very basic and simple expression of love. Love one another. And in fact, today, the Bible passage that we read ends exactly in that way. And I want to just take a few moments right now to finish out the passage that we read. Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. From verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Does it sound like he wants us to have a robust life? That he wants those grapes to really flow with juices. That's it. This is my commandment, he continues, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Here is the essence of Christianity. In fact, you want to push the envelope a little bit? Here is the essence of all true religion. Here is the essence of our humanity. You want to be godly, first of all, be human. Love one another. I'm going to end with another song right now. It's more traditional, in line with the Feast of the Assumption. It's called Diramayr. This is a performance by Lusine Zakaryan. The late Lusine Zakaryan in the Holy See of Etchmiadzin. Diramayr means the Mother of the Lord.
Thank you.
That was Dita Maid, and I hope you enjoyed not only that song, but our entire broadcast today. We're up against the clock. I want to just remind you that on the Feast of the Assumption, it's a time to go to church and really give a little bit of yourself back to God. God gives you so much. He's given you that breath of life. He's given you that ability to love. It's a time to give back. And I'm not talking about writing a check or doing anything more than just going there and saying thank you. To be able to say that everything that I have is due to this beautiful life that has been given to me. Despite the difficulties, Saint Mary was able to look at life and say that I'm giving my son. In the same way, we need to be able to look at life and say, despite all the difficulties, I am giving a piece of myself back to this world. And you have many opportunities. And I want to take this opportunity to just say thank you to you. To acknowledge you, people who have given themselves. If you've done nothing else but to give your time to listen to one of these podcasts, if you've prayed for us, if you've shared a story with us, if you've written to us, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, and may God bless you. If you'd like to drop us a line, please do so at epostle.net. Just press on the feedback button or write us an email at feedback@epostle.net. Drop us a line. You can call up our number 626-275-AMEN. And also, I want to acknowledge a couple people who really made our life easy. One of them, Steve Bedrosian, who listened to one of our earlier podcasts and just took the initiative to go ahead and do some markers for us and purchased a machine that will actually be stamping these podcasts into CDs, and we'll have those available. Thank you, Steve, for all you do for this ministry. And a man who really made these podcasts possible, somebody who put the infrastructure together for us. I want to acknowledge a gentleman, true gentleman up in Cupertino named George Igmanosian, who generously donated all of the technology, all of the equipment to actually do these podcasts. So thank you, Georgie, for your kindness, your friendship, and throughout the years, all of the donations that have brought this podcast to fruition. And to all of you again, God bless you. St. Mary's Day is coming up. It's a great time to just go out there and share some love, the love that God has given in all of our hearts. So for our producer, Susie, who is back in the saddle and unrelentlessly and so diligently gets these podcasts out to you through the miracle of technology, and for Ken, who's up in the booth, up to some kind of mischief now that he's back. Anyway, this is Father Voskin, hoping that you'll be with us again next week at the Apostles' Net, and together we'll take the next step. God bless.